Wasn't that beautiful? Happy Mother's Day to each of you. We are so glad that you're here today. Just a little something to start out. Have you ever been in a place where you're pretty sure you know where you're going, but you're still going to put the GPS in just to make sure? I'm probably the only one that does that. But a few months ago, I was headed to one of our son's house, and I know the way clearly. I drive it a lot, but because I was doing other things that I knew I would be distracted, I punched in his address in the GPS, and I'm going along, and I know exactly where I'm going because I have my plan. I know what time I'm going to get there, and I know exactly what I'm going to do when I arrive. But because I was so familiar and so confident and all that, I was also talking on the phone to one of my friends. And we were talking about everything, talking about the Lord, and just in deep conversation. So I was only halfway listening to the GPS, and out of nowhere, a detour hit. Not a little detour, a massive detour. They took the whole road out. So I'm in the back roads, and all of a sudden, I'm going through every little town. I'm like thinking, I'm turning again, and I'm going to be in a cornfield. And the longer it took, the longer I was going a path that wasn't familiar to me, I became more frustrated, more irritated. And I kept thinking things like, all right, God, come on, you know I have a plan. God, could you just move all this out of the way and put me back on the path that I had set for me? Because you know where I'm headed. But the GPS kept redirecting me, rerouting me. Every time I saw orange cones and they would get in the way, it just kept rerouting me. But the longer it went on, the more I was convinced I was lost. I thought, it's got to be wrong. Anybody argue with the GPS? Yeah, and I'm convinced I'm right more than it is. But isn't that how it is in life sometimes? That we have a plan, we have a time, we have it all set. And when we hit a detour, we are convinced it's wrong. And so we're only halfway listening to the one that we're following. And then you realize, in life, I had my plan, I had my timing, but then grief happened. And then that job didn't go through the way I thought. The marriage wasn't what I expected it to be. And now I'm walking on a road that I didn't plan. I'm driving a route that wasn't on my agenda. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about today, walking with Jesus. And many times we walk with Jesus before we even recognize that he's there. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke 24, and we're going to look at the walk to Emmaus in verses 13 through 34. And I don't know about you, but I've been in a season in my life where God was moving, but I couldn't see him. And if you're like me, when I can't see him, I get a little nervous. Even this morning, I'm more of an emotional. I'm sure y'all haven't noticed. I'm very demonstrative. But when I can't feel God, I get a little nervous. Maybe he's not there. I get a little nervous. Maybe this is Kathy and he's not going to show up. And that's kind of what's happening here in Luke 24 with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Jesus had just been crucified. Their hope looked buried. Everything they had planned, their expectations were shattered because they were followers of Jesus and he had just been crucified. And now they're walking 7 miles. This kind of convicted me because if I have to walk to the other end of the building, sometimes we whine about it, right? We're like, one more trip. They were walking 7 miles, but they weren't just walking. They were walking with grief, with a burden, with a heaviness, hopeless. And we know the word tells us, hope deferred. When I'm hopeless and it's gone, it makes the heart sick. But the good news of this text is not just that Jesus appears, but the good news is that Jesus joined them and he joins us today, long before we ever recognize him. Because sometimes we get in a place where we think, will I ever be good enough? Will I ever be able to do what I see others doing? Somebody needs to hear this message today. When I first started hearing the Lord, I thought, Lord, that's not a real big, strong Mother's Day message. But how many of us know the best thing you can give your children, those spiritual children around you, the employees you work beside, is a holy walk with Jesus, to be a living demonstration to who he is. Because you see, he doesn't wait until you're strong enough. He doesn't wait until you understand, and when you have it all together, until your faith is perfect. He comes while you're still confused, while you're still afraid. So let's look at Luke 24 and start with verse 13. It says, that same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. Now notice this. They're walking. We know it was a 7-mile walk. They had plenty of time to talk. They were hurting. They were doubting. They were replaying their pain. And yet Jesus stepped into their conversation. He didn't wait to be invited in. They didn't even recognize it was him. But he still came near to them. Some of us need to be reminded today, there are seasons in our life when Jesus is walking with us, even when I can't see him. Even when I'm telling myself, God, where are you? God, could you not open this door? God, you know my problem. God, are you hearing my prayers? He's already there. As you see, he's in that closed door. He's in that job that didn't work out. He's in that conversation or comment that redirected everything about your week, that made you doubt, that made you question. He's in all of that, and he will use it as he walks alongside you. Because sometimes we mistake hiddenness for absence. And just because you can't feel him doesn't mean he isn't there. Some of us are saying, God, where are you? And he's saying, I'm right here all along. I'm in your everyday, ordinary moments. I'm in the places of pain for you, the places of grief. I'm in the place where everything's going good and you don't know what your next step is. He's saying, I'm already with you. I'm walking with you right there. When you understand and when you don't, he is there. Because sometimes faith means trusting in his presence before I can see his face. So that brings us to point number one. Jesus will encounter us and walk along with us, even when we don't recognize him. Some people think that I have to feel, I have to hear, I have to recognize. But see, his recognition comes in relationship. And that's one of the things we're going to talk about today. That when I don't see his face, can I trust his heart? Can I trust his hand? Because you see, even when you can't hear him, he's there. And often Jesus will meet us in honest conversation. Let's look at verse 17 and see where he interjects himself at. Let's see. He asks them, what are you discussing so intently as you walk along? Now we know he already knows, right? But they stop short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, you must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there the last few days. What things, Jesus asked. The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth. Now there's a whole lot of words about to be spoken here that we don't want to miss. He was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah. We had hoped. Hope is gone. Hope was buried when they buried him. That phrase is heavy. Some of you are here today and you've given up hope. But God is in it. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago. So this is immediately following the crucifixion in the next few days. They said his body was missing, and they had seen angels who told them, Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the women had said. Now, they've heard the report that Jesus' body is gone, and they even heard that the angels were there. But they still refer to him as a man, and everything we believed is gone. So the disciples are talking. Jesus interjects into their conversation. They weren't polished. They didn't have it all together. They weren't preaching. They were just processing. And how many of you know when we process, we just kind of pour it out, right? It just kind of all gets spilled out there. But Jesus stepped into their real conversation. I love that because sometimes we think we have to clean ourselves up before Jesus will meet with us, right? We think our prayer has to sound perfect. We think our faith has to be polished and that we need religious language before I can pray. But Jesus met them in their raw, honest place. They didn't hide their hopelessness. They didn't know who Jesus was. They were just telling him the bare facts. And he began to talk to them and he said, why are you so sad? What things happened? Can I help somebody here today? God is not offended by your honesty. He already knows where you are. He already knows the struggle that you're having. He already knows if you're the mom that woke up on Mother's Day and said things like, all of us have fought. Why is it so easy to be a mother to someone else's kids and it's so hard for me to be a mother to mine? What if I'm the reason my kid doesn't succeed? What if, what if, what if? And I just want you to be reminded, Jesus is in your walk today. He's right there with you, and he is not intimidated by your honesty. Tell him you're disappointed. Tell him you're sad. Tell him you're afraid. Tell him, God, I think I'm lost. I don't recognize the path. I didn't know when you moved me to this different city and gave me this different job and you gave me a boss that doesn't even like me. I didn't know it was going to look like this. I didn't know it was going to feel like this. I didn't know how hard it would be. He's in your walk and he's listening. And just like he did with the disciples, he's inviting you to speak. He's inviting you to be with him. Because God can heal what we're honest enough to bring to him. If you will be honest enough to bring it to him and place it at his feet, you know what I'm tired of in the church is people thinking that I have a wound so deep or a walk so bad and so unclean that Jesus can't completely heal it. That is a lie from the enemy, and I am here to tell you, I am living proof. It doesn't matter where you've walked. It doesn't matter where you've wandered. It doesn't matter who you've walked with or what you've done. He's in your walk, and he rerouted you. He put red cones in front of you, and he said, get in there, First Assembly of God today, because I've got something I want to say to you. I want to reveal myself to you so that you will recognize who I am and who you are so that you will know wherever you are. I'm with you. Because see, when I know he's with me, the fear goes down, right? When I'm not doing it in Kathy's strength, when I don't have to come up with the answer, and I am remembering he is the answer, it is a whole lot easier. So Jesus walks with us before we recognize him. Jesus often meets us in honest conversation. And number three, Jesus reveals himself through the word and through stillness. Let's look at verse 27. It says, then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. By this time, they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey. Jesus acted as if he were going on, but they begged him, stay the night with us since it's getting late. So he went home with them. And as they sat down to eat, he took the bread and he blessed it. And suddenly their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. Jesus begins explaining the scripture to them. Before he opened their eyes to know who he was, he opened the word. That matters. Because I will tell you, many times we want to walk with Jesus. We want to walk and we want to do it our way. And we want to have a plan. We want to know that even if a detour comes, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty confident. I'm a pretty strong woman and I'm pretty determined. I will figure out a way. And if it's the wrong way, you'll never know it. I'll just fake it, right? Okay, it's probably only me. But anyway, we do that, don't we? But if you're walking with Jesus, if you are a follower of Jesus and you are walking with him, but you're doing it without the word, you're just on a walk. You're just wandering. And you may never even notice the detours. And you say, how do I know? How do I know if I really am walking with him, if I really know him? One, you will be in the word. Because when I'm in the word, I will see who he truly is. Because many of us want revelation without a foundation. We want feelings without truth. We want moments without maturity. And we want encounters with Jesus without obedience. And see, if I'm not in the word, there's no conviction coming with it. But Jesus, in this story, he teaches them first. But then later at the table, he breaks bread and their eyes are opened. I love that. There's two ways that he reveals himself, through his word and through stillness. If you want to know Jesus, know scripture. Not random inspiration, not social media theology, and not emotional vibes. You don't need crystals. You don't need new ageism. You don't need anything. But the word of God and the presence of God. Because the more you know his voice in scripture, in his word, the more you'll recognize his voice in everyday life. And I just want to give a quick little plug here for School of the Bible. You know, I've been walking my walk with Jesus, and to be honest with you, I wasn't in a place of despair. I mean, running a little fast and feeling a little tired, but the truth is, it was going well. I wasn't feeling like, oh God, I'm lost and there's so many distractions coming my way. None of that. It was going good. But I sensed there was a next step, and I couldn't figure out what it was. And I began to teach in School of the Bible. And because, you know, I knew they were going to ask me questions, though I read the word, I began to dig in the word. I don't know about you, but if somebody's going to question me about what I know, I need to know a little more, right? So I began to study harder. I began to go deeper. And you know what I noticed? Man, everything changed. There was a clarity that everything became clear to me. Now, do I have all the answers? No. But I'm talking about in my day-to-day, I caught myself saying things like, I'm having fun. And I remember sharing in one of our classes, I am seeing, stepping into moments where Jesus is moving and ministering in places I never did before. Now, do I think they started happening? No, I think they were there all along, but I was too busy moving too fast to see them happening. But when I began to dig in his word, to sit around a table with 10, 15 people discussing, what does that mean? Well, what does that look like in our lives? And what is he saying to us in this place? I'm telling you, I felt lighter. Even when I hit roadblocks, they didn't seem as big. They didn't seem as scary. So if you haven't, and it may not be School of the Bible for you, but find a place, make a space in your life where you are going deeper. What is your next step in the Word? And it may look different than mine. For me, it was teaching. Some of you, it's taking the classes. For some of you, it may be grabbing a one-year Bible and beginning reading it with us. But start with Him in the Word. And He also reveals Himself through stillness. You notice He opened the Word with them. But then as He began to talk to them, they were sitting at the table. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." I am famous for running, and you know, sometimes, especially as moms, we're pretty proud of the fact we can do three things at once and accomplish them all. But when it comes to my walk with the Lord, I have to sit down. I have to be still, because recognizing Him often comes with slowing down. Some of us can't discern the voice of God because there's way too much noise, too much distraction, too much scrolling. Come on, somebody. Too much anxiety. If I am anxious all the time, I will tell you there is a peace found in the Word of God, in the stillness of God. You know, I've had an opportunity to become a mentor to many young women, and one of our ministers in Kentucky, she had been invited to speak with all of our women ministers. And I'd been talking and working with her and mentoring her for years, and she doesn't live near me, so when I heard she was going to do it, then I began to tell her, "Hey, I'm going to be on there. I'm going to cheer you on." And as she's sharing all this wisdom, I'm thinking, this girl's good. Oh, my goodness, that's good. And I'm taking notes. And somebody said, "Oh, Rachel, you're so wise." She said, "Well, my good friend, Kathy Stone, she told me these things when I was younger." Girl, I was writing notes. I was like, that's good. Where'd that come from? Because sometimes we know, but we just move on past it because there's so many other things coming at us, right? Maybe your next step is to do what you know, what you've known but you've stopped doing. And one of the things she said that honestly, it really hit me, was when you get in the presence of God, one of the best things you'll do is open His Word and just stop talking. Now, I don't know if y'all have noticed, but I like to talk, and I've got plenty to say about just anything. Just ask me, I can tell you. But just be still and stop talking. And I thought, well, I'm going to try that. She said, "Well, Kathy, you taught it." I'm like, "I remember that. Sure, I do." But don't we get in the presence of God, even in the Word of God, and we're just talking to God so much, even about it, that sometimes you just hear Him say, "Shh, stop it." Maybe it's just me, but it's like, stop talking. And when I was just quiet and still, the revelation that came, the revealing of who He was, taught me things about Him I'd forgotten, that I had laid down. I want to encourage you in those places of sitting with Him, of sitting at His feet. Listen. Because sometimes our next step isn't found in doing more. It's found in being still. Because stillness is not inactivity. Stillness is surrender. Sit with Jesus in silence. And then number four, once you recognize Him, you can't stay the same. Look with me in verse 32. They said to each other, "Didn't our hearts burn within us as He talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?" And within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 disciples and the others who had gathered with them, who said, "The Lord has really risen. He appeared to Peter." The moment they recognized Jesus, He vanished. And what did they do? They had just had a 7-mile walk to Emmaus, and it says immediately they got up and they went back to Jerusalem. But see, they came hopeless and discouraged, but on their way back, They were filled with hope. They were excited and they were ready because their eyes had been opened and now they knew that their hope wasn't buried, that Jesus was alive. Because, you know, an encounter with Jesus changes your direction. When you truly encounter him, when I truly open his word and I truly sit at his feet, I can't stay bitter anymore. I can't walk in emotional immaturity anymore. I can't remain unforgiving with someone who's hurt me. I can't keep walking away from my purpose. And they said, didn't our hearts burn within us? The fire returns when Jesus becomes clear to us. When you see him, your strength will return, your joy will return, your passion and purpose will return. These past few days, I've thought a lot. Any of you that were here this past Wednesday night, we had a group come in at the last minute of a lot of teenagers. And it was pretty cool to see. It's always exciting when you have a big group of guests come in. And, you know, we all know what walking with Jesus looks like. We talk about it. We talked about it this morning. What do the steps look like? But do you know there are many in every generation, but especially in this one, that have so much coming at them, they don't see him. They don't recognize him. They don't know his voice, and they don't know they're supposed to know his voice. You ever known anybody that way? But these kids came in, and we all had our plan. The service was planned. We knew who did what and when you were coming and how it was going to happen. And if you were here, you witnessed one of the most beautiful things, because these kids came in, the music was different, you know, and everybody starts looking around. They liked it. But then they started coming to the altar one at a time. And Jesus just stepped in to their life. He interjected himself. And this is Kathy's loose translation, but it's like he said, hey, I'm here, I'm Jesus. Let me tell you who I am. And many came down and started praying over them, and some prophesied over them, and it was pretty cute because they were like, listen, I don't know these people, but they knew everything about me, and there's just something wrong here. It felt really wrong to them. She had a beautiful opportunity to explain the gift of prophecy to them. But how many of you know sometimes you're praying over somebody and Jesus is talking to someone and you don't even know it? You don't even know you're prophesying, but Jesus will interject himself in your walk even when you don't know he's there. And he will reveal himself to you. But as he did that, you could see their eyes began to open. You could see their hearts began to burn within them. You could see the tears began to flow like, I don't know who this is. I don't know what this is, but I've never felt anything like this before in my life. Worship team, if you want to come on up. All of us have next steps. All of us have the next thing in our walk with Jesus. One, I want to know what my next step is for Kathy, but you know what I don't want Kathy to miss? These that don't yet know, these that are saying, I'm just walking. I'm just here, I like the music, or I don't like the music, or I like the preacher, or I don't like the preacher. Some are just here and they don't even know. I remember the day when I was younger, the very first time I heard the voice of the Lord, not audible, but I remember the day I looked around and thought, he's talking to me. Live a walk so close to Jesus. Open his word. Sit in his presence so that if you happen to wander by or wander into a service and there's a group of 20 that he sent in that you had no idea were coming, you're ready. And whatever he wants to say or do, you can step into that. So maybe your next step is to start school of the Bible. Maybe your next step is to take the welcome home class. Maybe it's to start coming to Monday night prayer. Maybe it's to get up and do a quiet time and actually not just read the scripture, but read it with expectancy. And to say, speak to me, Lord, show me who you are. Just like you opened the eyes and gave them understanding to the scripture. Lord, when I read the word, how many ever read verse and you thought, I don't have a clue what that just said? I can say that. But wherever you are, take the next step. Put your phone down. Quiet the room. Breathe in deep and invite his presence. It might feel a little weird to you every once in a while, but I will tell you, when he sets down, your life will never be the same. When he came into the room the other night, even those of us who are walking with him, it kind of made you want to step back and go, oh, thank you, Jesus. I just get to see you step into their walk. But it also made me leave saying, step into mine. What's my next step? Yes, I may have recently taken one. What's my next step? And also, open the word daily. As you read with expectation, as you ask him to show you who he is, stop performing. Stop pretending. Stop acting like you have it all together or you have all the answers. Just honestly talk to him. Maybe today you feel like those disciples. Maybe today you're a mom or you're a spiritual mom and you see these young generations and you think, I don't know how to help them. I don't know how to get them to even notice or want to notice the Lord. But I will tell you, our culture has taught us to say things like, to look at our little kids and say, she's going to be a handful when she grows up. Oh, he's going to give me a run for my money. And then we all chuckle, right? There's life and death in the power of the tongue, and I want to encourage you. You begin to understand your place as a mom, your place as a spiritual mama, and you begin to lift up that little girl, and you begin to declare, in the name of Jesus Christ, I decree that it will be established, that his light will shine forth in all their ways, that they will walk in the ways of God. And just like Esther, she will fast and pray, and because of her obedient heart, she will save her people to the glory of God. And like Mary, that child will say, may it be unto me as you have said, no matter what other people think of me, I will walk out the glory of God. And when that young man begins to learn who God is, he will hear, even when he lays his head on his pillow at night, his dreams will belong to you, God. His words will not fall to the ground and be wasted. He will be like David, and he will walk into an army that's hiding and afraid from the giant that looks way too big, and he will say, have you forgotten we are the armies of the living God? And he will say, the same God who delivered me from the bear and the lion, he will slay this uncircumcised Philistine. His head will roll today because that's who my boy is going to be. You declare the word of God. But can I just challenge you? If you don't know the word of God, you can't pray the word of God. Come on, somebody. It's time, spiritual mamas, rise up. Declare the word of God. Live the word of God. Because if I could declare it and I'm not living it, you're going to do a whole lot more harm than good. And some of you are in here and you're saying, you know what? I don't have a mama that's going to pray for me. I will tell you, you have been rerouted into First Assembly of God today. And I will tell you, this house is full of spiritual mamas. We will pray for you. When altar team, if you want to come on down, if you want to come down today, we're getting ready to close. I will tell you, we will be your spiritual mamas. Sometimes in this world, mamas don't know how to be a mama. And they cause more pain than good, and they challenge and they take away. But I will tell you, I have spiritual mamas. I thanked one this morning for standing in front of me and showing me the way, for speaking truth when I needed to hear it, for throwing their arms around me when they saw tears flowing. I commit to you, we will be that to you. You just come forth and say, I need a spiritual mama. Now, that also entails we're going to love you enough to speak truth. And if I see you spinning your wheels and just being complacent, I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to pull you, but I will commit to you. You will not walk this road alone. Jesus is already in it. but we will be in it with you too. So wherever you are today, I want you to come for prayer. Whatever your need is, Jesus has routed you here today, so hear this clearly. He's on your road. Even if you haven't recognized him yet, he's in the walk, he's in the questions, but more than anything, he's in the word. So this week, be still, be quiet, talk honestly, and walk with him. Because the same Jesus who walked on the road to Emmaus is here walking with you today. So as Maddie plays, whatever your need is, and you need prayer today, I want you to come on down. If you missed that altar call, that invitation for salvation earlier, and you want someone to pray with you and say, you know, I don't even know about that walk, we'll lead you to Jesus. He's here walking with you today.